Well, good morning, everyone. Always a bit of a danger, isn't it, where you come up to speak and somebody says, this is going to be real wow. But I fear from there I can only disappoint. But I will try not to. I was chatting to our children as well this morning, and they've told me they're looking at the same passage in their groups, but in their groups they're going to be doing a science experiment. So I imagine there'll be some of us now who are wishing maybe that we were just a few years younger and able to do the practical stuff. But we're going to unpack this passage together this morning. And as Rob said, we're going to particularly focus on the words of Jesus. So if you'd like to have the passage in front of you, I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 4 and the last few verses. Words that will be familiar to many of us as we read about how Jesus calms the storm. So reading from Mark 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he, being Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I am going to be talking about a wow this morning, but I'm going to come to that a little bit later. As we pick up this theme of red, if you look at the passage that I've just read to you, Jesus doesn't speak many words. But the words that he does speak are so telling, aren't they? Particularly the words towards the end of the passage. Why are you so afraid? Off from shore, if I'm one of those disciples, maybe I'm exhausted. Maybe I'm thinking, thank goodness I can take a breather now. That the teaching is over for today. Or at least they thought. What they don't realize is their biggest lesson is still to come, isn't it? As they push off from the shore. We're told that it's Jesus. We're told in the passage, it's Jesus who says, let's go out across the lake. Let's escape from the crowds. Let's retreat from them at the end of the day. And there's no great protest that comes from the disciples. So we can assume, maybe, that they didn't realize there was a storm coming. But we can be confident that Jesus knew there was a storm coming. This was all part of the day's curriculum, wasn't it? That he's been talking about faith, and now he's leading them into the eye of a storm. They don't realize it yet, but that is where they're headed. As they set out off over Lake Galilee is much bigger, as I'm sure many of you will know, than any lakes that we have here in England. Lake Windermere is the biggest lake that we have here in England. Lake Galilee is over 10 times the size in terms of surface area. Or if you'd like another illustration, it's about twice the size of Leicester. So if you can imagine sitting the city of Leicester alongside, just doubling it, then that is the area of water they are traveling across. So as they get into the middle of the lake and the storm starts to whip up around them and water starts to break over the boat, this is a really dangerous situation for them. We know that some of the disciples were ex-fishermen. So they were familiar with these surroundings, and yet even they are looking at each other and saying, what are we going to do? We can perhaps imagine the scene that as the water breaks over the boat, they're trying to bail it back out, but the more they try and do that, the more water comes in. Bit by bit, the boat is slowly being submerged. There is a real and present danger for these disciples. They fear this is it. There's one of those moments where their life flashes before them and they think, is this the moment where we're going to drown here together in the middle of the lake? And then in desperation, I like the understatement in the passage here where it says, the disciples went and woke Jesus and said to him. I'm just imagining that they perhaps didn't say it quite so calmly and politely as we might read it in the passage. That in the middle of this storm where they think they're going to die and their boat is half submerged, maybe they take Jesus and they shake him and they scream over the noise of the storm, Master, don't you care if we drown? Is this really going to happen on your watch? And Jesus takes a moment, speaks a few words, and calms the storm. And then turns to them. And these are perhaps the words that really challenge us today as well, aren't they? He turns to them and says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I'd love to see the scene then in the boat as the disciples then look at each other with their jaw dropped. And there's that wow, isn't there? The wow, to say, wow, who is this? Because even the most powerful things that we can imagine, even the wind and the waves obey his voice. Who is this? And they're left with this question, aren't they? I think what is even more striking about this passage is these aren't people that are unfamiliar with Jesus. These are people that have walked with Jesus day after day, week after week. Some of us here will have walked with Jesus for year after year. They had sat and watched him. They had been present when he had healed people, when through the power of God, people who had been lame had been able to walk, where the mute had been able to speak. They'd seen him perform miracle after miracle. If somebody had quizzed them before they got onto that boat and said, tell me about your Jesus, I'm sure they could have talked for hours about him. If somebody had come and challenged them and said, but do you really know who he is? They'd have said, yes, absolutely. Let me tell you about Jesus. I've spent weeks and weeks and weeks with him. This is who he is. And yet, when he calms the storm, they turn to each other and say, wow, who is this? And they realize that the one that they follow, Jesus, fully human and fully God, is even greater than they could ever, ever have imagined. I wonder how often we've had those times in our life where we've come to realize that Jesus is so much greater than we ever imagined. At Spring Harvest this year, we were there as a family. We had the pleasure, the privilege one night of listening to Mike Pilavarci. Some of you all know Mike. He's part of the Soul Survivor Network. And he's an incredibly funny man as well as being an incredibly wise man. And he spoke about the need for us to experience that wow. And he retold the story, a very funny story of when he first goes to see the Grand Canyon in North America, and how I think it was quite a spontaneous decision that they were all going to go, and they drove for hours and hours to get there. And as they drew closer to the Grand Canyon, and the conversation in the car went something like, is this really going to be worth it? having spent all these hours in the baking heat traveling across America, what are we actually going to see at the end of it? And then he spoke about that moment where he came to the Grand Canyon and he peered over the edge. I assume there's a fence, but he peered over the edge. And he said, wow. And it blew his mind. It was greater than he could have ever have imagined. And we have those moments where we stand and we simply can only say, wow. And it's the same for these disciples on the boat, that in the midst of a storm, they encounter God. They encounter Jesus in a way that they never thought they would before. I imagine most of us don't have such a trip planned for this afternoon. And I'm pretty confident with the weather forecast, we're not going to get caught in the eye of a storm, even if we did. But perhaps we can all relate it in some way to our own storms. And I don't know you all well enough to know what that storm looks like. I guess for some of us, those storms will be health related. For some of us, it might be finance. It might be to do with relationships that are broken. It could be any number of things. But I guess for many of us here today, we might have that real sense of being caught in the eye of a storm. And perhaps not knowing how that's going to resolve itself. And I don't want to stand here this morning and say, those storms aren't as big as we think they are. Because they may well be. And for the disciples, they were in real danger. It wasn't that they woke Jesus and then looked around and said, oh, you know what? The clouds are breaking and it'll pass over in no time. They were caught in the middle of a storm where they thought they were going to drown. But as Jesus interceded, as Jesus came in the midst of that storm, it changed everything. And I wanted to really ask us this question this morning, that when the storm hits, is God our first and best option? Is our first response, maybe even when we see the storm coming on the horizon, is our first response to turn to God and to seek Him? Because as I was preparing for today, I had this picture, this image of the disciples desperately trying to keep that boat afloat. And the more water comes in, the more they're trying to bail it out, the more they're screaming at each other, the more energy they're expending trying to stay alive, trying to keep the boat afloat. Until eventually, when they realize the boat's going under, they turn in desperation to Jesus and say, will you do something about this? Because we've tried everything. And we know for some people, and maybe it's true for some of us here today, that's how people first come and experience the power of God in their lives. That actually it's that moment of desperation when we as individuals have tried everything that we eventually get down on our knees and cry out to God. Say, you know what, God, I've tried everything I can. Now's your turn. And God meets us at that point of desperation. And God comes and does something miraculous. God comes and changes that situation and takes us through that storm. As I said, that may be true for many of us here today. But as we grow in faith, as we walk with Jesus day by day, month by month, year by year, God's heart isn't that God will be the last resort. God wants to be there for us in the first instance. that as we see the storm brewing, we're able to turn immediately to God and say, actually, God, I put my trust in you, that you can bring me through, that you will be at work in the midst of this storm. I'm going to ask the next slide to go up, if that's okay. I'd like to share a prayer with you today. I'm making an assumption that this isn't a prayer that many of us have prayed. Certainly, if I think of all the prayer books I've ever read, I don't think I've ever found it. And it certainly doesn't appear in those prayer books that you buy for children and give to them at a young age. How often do we pray for trouble? How often do we pray for trials? The prayer goes a little like this. I don't know what today will hold, but I pray for trouble. I pray that there will be unexpected trials and at least one situation that really, really terrifies me. I ask for this because I know this is what I need to keep growing as a disciple. I don't think I'm encouraging you to pray this prayer today. But you perhaps understand the teaching point that I want to draw from it. That actually, for us to continue to grow as disciples of Jesus, we need to learn and understand more about what it means to put our trust in him. I'm sure if you'd said to those disciples on that evening 2,000 years ago, there is this ferocious storm coming, what do you want to do? They have said, we'll stay here, thank you very much. Because it would have seemed like foolishness to have set out across that lake knowing what was going to happen. They would never have wished that to be in that situation. They were terrified of what was going to happen. And yet, in the midst of that situation, they encountered the power of Jesus like never before. And I can only imagine that in the days, weeks, months, and years after that, people were sick of hearing them tell that story. That they would have been bending people's ear again and again and again and saying, you've seen Jesus do miracles, but let us tell you what we saw. We saw the miracle of all miracles. And they would have told that story again and again. But also their walk with Jesus would have been different from that point on as well. Because they'd seen that Jesus was even greater than they could imagine because of how Jesus had been at work in that situation. They saw his power. They saw his love and compassion for them like they'd never seen it before. The other thing that struck me as I prepare for today, I'm just going to ask the next slide if that's okay, is how when we put our trust in God, when our faith grows, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to trust in him in those situations, we bring glory to God. I love this passage. I was referring to it recently. I teach RE, and we were talking about the power of faith, and I was referring to this passage. We were also talking about why people face trials and why even God might allow that to happen. And I referred to this passage from 1 Peter, that these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When in the midst of the storm, God is our first and best option. Even when we don't know how that storm is going to resolve itself, we come and seek God and put our trust in him. when we do that, it brings glory to God. It brings glory, praise, and honor to Him. And so it is God's heart that as we journey with Him, and maybe as we're able to look back on the storms where He's been at work in the past, and take courage from that, that as we put our trust in Him today, for the storms that we face now, that we glorify His name, that we bring praise to Him. So I'd like to take a moment, if I may, to pray for us all now. Whether we find that we are in the midst of a storm this morning, or whether as we continue to move forward, we see things that may happen on the horizon, that the Holy Spirit will grow in us the faith needed to be able to trust in God in those situations. So let's come to God in prayer. Lord God, we thank You that You are with us, present here with us in this space this morning. That by the power of Your Spirit, You are speaking to each and every one of us. And Lord, we praise You. We come to praise and worship You today because You are worthy of that praise. Because You are a great and powerful God. Because You are full of love. Because You are faithful to us in each and every situation. And Lord, for those of us who feel like we are caught in the eye of a storm this morning, we just bring that to You now. We bring to You that situation, that uncertainty, that relationship. And Lord, we bring that to You knowing that You love us, that You provide for us, and that You have the power to be at work in that situation, that there is nothing that will overpower You, that even the wind and waves obey Your word. And so, Lord, we invite You to come and be at work in our lives today. Come and meet us in the midst of that storm. As we look back on our lives, we thank You for the times that we have encountered that wow. We thank You for the storms that You have brought us through. For the times when we have realized that You are even bigger, even more powerful, even more compassionate and merciful than we realized. And for those of us that stand in the midst of a storm today, we pray that in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, a month's time, whenever it may be, that we'll be able to sit with someone and share that same wow and bring praise and glory to You for how You were able to do something miraculous in the midst of our storm too. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen.